This is The Think Tank, talking about the major economic, political, and social issues of the week. On the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3, KTAR, here's Dr. Mike O'Neill and Mike Russell.
Boy, that'll wake you up. Let me tell you. All right, it's me and Doc, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, the way I like it. We got a lot going on. We're gonna take on the VA, Tom Horn, the prisoner swap. We're talking about China. We got it all covered on the Think Tank. Thanks for being with us, Doc. It's been a busy week with the VA, as we've had the acting secretary in town. We've had bipartisan legislation passed. It's getting big and it's getting fast. But it seems, like everybody's stepping to the plate. They want things fixed quickly.
Well, I think that, you know, two scandals in the first half hour here, the VA and Tom Horn.
Yeah.
The difference is the VA scandal is one that there really aren't two sides on. This was inexcusable, the denial of care. I think we know what kind of thing produced this. You're trying to move an organization, and you're trying to get them to solve a problem, and the problem is backlogs. So somebody gets this bright idea. What we have to do is create some incentives for cutting into the backlogs. So they say, all right, we're going to pass out bonuses to folks who can get the backlog down. Unfortunately, what that creates is an incentive to cheat. And that appears to be what's happened. And it started, the whistle got blown initially in Phoenix, but it's not just a Phoenix problem. It looks like a national problem, or at least a pervasive problem. Mm-hmm. And you have people trying to game the system to get bonuses. And that's, I think, what got us into this mess.
Right. I think it's a government problem. I think this is government in a spotlight. I don't care. This is nothing to do with Democrats. This has nothing to do with Republican. It's government. The government's philosophy for years has been what? Throw more money at it.
Well,
I'll tell you how to fix that. You just offer people more money there, and that's all going to get fixed right away, isn't it?
Okay. Government. I think it's an organization problem.
Okay.
General Motors, look at what they've been going through. You have private company there. You know,
it was run by the government for how many years?
The government bailed them out, but it was a private company
run
for profit. I mean, the fact is we have human beings who the whole essence of capitalism is that human beings respond to incentives. And the problem is, and that's a good thing.
Well, you just use GM, the train wreck that is GM right now, as an example of this. You're saying that's... If that's the way it goes, then what do you do?
Have people within GM cheating on the system because there was money to be made. I think I see a parallel between that and individuals within the VA acting in ways that were outrageous, trying to pump up their bonuses. I think we see the same behavior. In other words,
it was flawed. It wasn't flawed prior to the bonus system.
I think the VA had problems in
terms
of the backlog.
President Obama ran in 08 against the VA in their backlogs.
If you're trying, yes, he did.
It's darn right he did.
If you're trying to say this kind of thing happens only in government, I think private industry is replete with examples of where you have people cheating in a system because they're going to make money. This is bigger than just tagging it on government. It's a human behavior problem.
Okay. I would say that human behavior is definitely part of it, and the human behavior that I see in a lot of this is bureaucracies and the people that are running it. I think it's power as well. It's power, money, and greed. You put those three together, what do you get? A politician. That's exactly what you get.
Or a corporate actor. A CEO that's trying to pump up this quarter's figures because it's going to impact their bonuses.
You can't throw the VA and bemoan our system of capitalism here. I don't see the two intersecting. This government, if you could seriously, can screw up a two-man parade, and you know this. You know where the government can. You want something messed up? Get the government.
Organizations can do it too.
I
don't think it's restricted to government. I mean, you think waiting lines? Have you ever worked with Cigna? Okay, you think those same kind? I have. You think those same kind of things don't occur? We could do call-ins here, and we could fill the afternoon with people who've had problems with private health care providers.
Okay, but I don't see a lot of people, because this is a reward, is what this is. The VA is a reward.
is a thank you. It's a thank you for your service. It's a thank you for signing a blank check over to the government up into your life.
Let me draw the distinction here. I think this is a problem with essentially monopolistic organizations.
Okay.
You want to argue
with you there.
You want to argue about
I'll
you,
go with you
what
there.
Kind of service do you get from your cable company or your cell phone provider?
No Those argument. Are pretty no argument. I'm with
On
you.
On the other hand, you go in a grocery store, you get pretty good service.
Yeah.
Because they know that if they stick it to you, you're walking across the street to another equally good. You have options and you're a repeat
Agreed.
Customer.
Agreed.
So it's large monopolistic organizations.
There you go. I'm going to go with you on that.
Which can be
that.
Public or private.
Okay. And I'll go with you there. Okay.
Because
now when we have
real competition, it works.
So,
but private industry doesn't always have competition.
This week, well, a lot of those you're dealing with public utilities, which is, we can go all day on that one. But I want to say with the VA itself, there's bipartisan support. Okay, of passed legislation this week, essentially giving current veterans, eligible veterans, the ability to go outside of the system, which brings back your grocery store analogy. Oh, wait a second. Wait, the VA there's going to be no business if everyone else gets to go out unless the VA, go outside of the VA, unless the VA shapes up, right?
Yep. Yeah,
okay.
I'll give you an example. City of Phoenix a few years ago. Put out their, I believe it was garbage collection to private contract. Was allowed to bid on it. They won the bid, and the city lost their own people, and they went to a private contractor.
Yeah.
And then several years after that, the city people submitted a bid, and they won the job back.
Okay.
In other words, they set up a situation where the government provided option was one option, but they had other choices. And the point is it went both ways.
Okay.
You set up a legitimate competition. The outcome is not necessarily foreordained one way or the other.
Well, okay, and I would say that, but you're talking about bids and stuff like that. What I'm talking about is service. I'm above and beyond bids, and we all know how government bids go. Look, it's the bottom line on this piece of paper. It has nothing to do with service.
Well, if you take the VA, if you say anybody who's eligible for VA can go to any private practitioner and get service. They'll get service. They'll get service quickly.
Yep.
But we're going to pay for that.
Well, okay.
It's not going to be as cheap
as
the VA.
I don't think you're going to get a lot of people saying, I would not pay more for veterans getting more health care. I don't think you're going to get a lot of pushback for that. Trust me, there's a lot of things in this government we can cut to make those to pay for that, including, by the way, Department of Defense run golf courses. Let's start there, and then we go with that. Hey, let's get into Tom Horn. There's some mounting trouble. There's multiple charges coming. We're going to talk about our very own Tom Horn next, right here on the Think Tank News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to the Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
All right. Well, the VA was a good little warm up for us, Doc. I think we had some fun. Yeah.
Move from national scandals to local scandals.
Well, local scandals. Well, the VA. Pretty much, we were ground zero. Yeah. It was a local scandal until people started opening some books, and then it got national in a hurry. But let's talk about Tom.
And by
Horn.
The way, just a point on that. Huh. Real credit to a local guy, Dr. Sam Foote.
Dr. Foote on our shows here at KTAR. We've had him throughout the week. He's phenomenal.
Interesting comment, and then it gets to the issue of scandals like this and the way organizations behave. We didn't hear from him, however, until he's on the verge of retirement. I think he retired. He indicated he retired early.
Mm-hmm.
And the point being that if you're in an organization and you're the whistleblower, life can get really, really unpleasant for
you. It got unpleasant for him for a while,
but then
now you see these whistleblowers that aren't anywhere near retirement. They're coming out because they're like, hey, there's safety in numbers. If everyone else is going to come out and say we're doing shenanigans, we'll do shenanigans.
Well, this brings us to the most recent case of Tom Horn.
All right. Tell me about Tom Horn.
Okay. Well,
tell me what's going on.
First of all, let me tell you what this is not. There's an enduring, long issue with him about whether or not he coordinated his campaign with an outside group.
Okay.
And that has gone back and forth. I don't want to talk about that at least initially. This is an entirely new set of charges, and this is brought about by a young staffer in his office by the name of Sarah Beatty.
Okay.
And she alleges that she was hired for a state job, but that her real job was to work on his campaign doing fundraising. And she said that that's her background. She does fundraising. That's what she was hired for. And she says that she got nervous about the extent to which she was doing all this work on state time. She produced a substantial affidavit, which I read, and also referenced a lot of contemporaneous documents, like so-and-so got a phone call, and Tom Horn says, no, that was official business. But 30 seconds after the phone calls, that person sends an email to the campaign and things like that. So there's a lot of documentation behind it. By the way, we did request to looked into getting her as a interviewee here. She's done at least one interview. She's not interested, she says, in doing any more because she's afraid the more, according to her lawyer, Tom Ryan, the more she talks, the more she will get attacked. And she's probably right in that.
I don't know so much about, tell me about what she means by attacked. If you've spoken with her, I want to know what she talks about attacked, because
I talked to her lawyer.
Oh, her lawyer. Attacked. I haven't heard any. This is the first time I've heard Sarah Beatty's name.
Okay. I have an interview with Tom Horn.
Okay.
Who responded to all of this basically by attacking
Which you
her.
Should do. If you're attacked, and, you yep. respond. Right.
And what he said is, you know, she's complained about every employer she's ever had. And in contrast to her affidavit, he says that he has produced 13 affidavits of people in the office who says, nope, no political work whatsoever going on.
Okay.
Of course, the question, I think all those 13 people work for him.
Well,
So that's the
big
question.
Heat in the big beef. So let me get into this, and I'm not defending Tom Horn. I'll be honest. Full disclosure here, I'm neutral on Tom Horn. I'm not a backer. I'm not against the guy.
Open
whatever.
Invitation, by the way. Tom would love to have you.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure any politician would. Right. Yeah. Any politician would love to have you in their camp. Isn't this part of the game? Can you look me in the eye? Because I know you're not a fan, mm-hmm. but could you look me in the eye and say, this is exclusive to Tom Horn? He's the only guy, the only politician that does this, the only incumbent politician that does this.
If her allegations are true, mm-hmm. this was way over the line.
I'm saying that my question is Tom Horn the only one, or is he just our local guy that we get to take a look at? I think this is rampant.
I can't speak. When you're an elected official, there's a line between fundraising and when you're doing politics, that's okay. But you're not supposed to call somebody up in the middle of the day on a state phone and hit them up for money. And she says in her affidavit, that's basically nearly all she was doing.
He's the attorney general. This is what I get to, and and I'll draw the line here. This is what we get from President Obama's administration as well. We get a lot of, well, he's a constitutional attorney, so he knows better and he wouldn't do anything wrong. This guy's our attorney general. He's an attorney.
Yeah.
He should know darn well better than having somebody, Sarah, I want you to pick up the phone and I want you to call all these people and ask them for money. Use that phone. That's the state-paid phone. I don't want anybody on my... You know what I mean? Should we just assume they're attorneys so they know how to buck the system, really? Game the system, excuse me.
There's allegations made here, and I think what's called for and what clearly will happen is somebody's got to investigate this.
Sure.
Because they're serious charges. They have credibility. He has a different version of events that is entitled to get an airing.
Let me play Tom Horn.
Sure.
Let me play Tom Horn. Junior staffer. A disgruntled junior staffer comes after me, and now you're going to come after the attorney general. My dogs bite. She barks.
That's exactly what Tom Horn is saying.
Absolutely. No. And would you... If you were Tom Horn, you would do the same. I think if I were Tom Horn, I would just say,
the predictable defense, and it's exactly what he did.
Because it's probably the one that's going to win.
My guess truth in this ultimately comes out. We probably don't get absolute, but probably where some of the most damning stuff is the contemporaneousness of some of the... A call comes in, and then all of a sudden an email goes out with a campaign flyer 30 seconds later, things mm-hmm. like that. The near simultaneity of some of those things certainly raises questions.
Sure, raises questions, but can you say that that's illegal? That's the problem getting sick. Once again, I'm on the fence.
Yep.
Neither for or against Tom Horn. I could not care. I really don't know what our dang attorney general does anyway, so mm-hmm. it's a whatever. So, when I see this, I think, it's a politician. Yep, they all do it. That's just my skeptic.
Depends on the meaning of it.
My pessimism. They all game the system. They all go. They all break the law. Sorry. They use their power. They wield their power. They use their incumbency.
I mean, yeah. I just got a mailing the other day from my congressperson talking about all the great work that they were doing. I'm, you know, being gender neutral here.
I understand.
You know,
yeah. Right.
All the great work they're doing for veterans and this and that.
Sure.
It seems to me that I get more of those mailings in even numbered years than odd numbered.
Amen.
And it
yes.
was congressionally
right.
franked.
Sure,
that's,
it was.
That's one of the gray mm-hmm. activities.
Exactly.
You know? There's gray activities. I think the congressional frank is grossly abused and used for what is in effect self-promotion.
And we see it. We've become mm-hmm. because we've become desensitized to it. And this is why I don't think this blows up to a giant yeah. scandal, because we're desensitized to it by any presidential administration goes and does a official presidential business
yep.
in one and does five campaign stops the next day. But their entire trip, their signature, everything is on the taxpayer dime. Do you see what I mean? I think.
Well, they have to divide that up if there's campaign activity.
But I get what you mean. Because that's what makes the news. President Obama or President Bush, they're on a campaign fund, they're on a fundraiser. That's what we're desensitized to.
If this stuff turns out to be true, where I think this crosses a line is we're talking about a whole lot of people in an office who are paid by the public, paid by you and I,
yep.
and if they are spending most of their time on campaign-related activities, I think people get that and they have a problem with it. Hmm. That's
so
what's different.
It's a lot. It would be like a lot like public unions doing some
and people
union
don't
work,
like and people don't like that either.
I hope they don't. All right, hey, let's get to it. I think Doc and I might be agreeing on this one. I don't know. I'm excited to hear his take on it. We're going to talk about the prisoner swap, all things Bergdahl, coming up on the Think Tank right here on News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to the Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
All right, let's get into definitely the news of the week. And I have to tell you, Doc, right out of the gates, you and I have not discussed the prisoner swap with Bo Bergdahl and five high-level Taliban operatives from Gitmo. I got to tell you, right out of the gates, when I first saw this, when I saw the news break here on KTAR, my spidey senses started. Something was fishy, something wasn't right. I did not like seeing... And I'll throw my cards on the table right now. I didn't like seeing a 5-1 anything. I don't like that. And knowing what I know of the circumstances of Bo Bergdahl's capture by the Taliban, my spidey sense is going off even more. Getting a little freaked out at this point. Now, I don't know what to think. Because it's just, now we have we did it because of this. Well, we did this. We did this. There's a lot of plate spinning here, and I think no one knows the truthful plate.
Good point. I think I agree mostly with the last part. I would like to associate with something that Bruce St. James here said earlier this week.
Oh, dear goodness, not that guy.
Yeah, this time. Every once in a while, he says something smart. You know.
Yeah, stay tuned.
And what he said is reserve judgment. And that's really kind of where I am. This seems
him say reserve judgment, good night
and,
of living.
Yeah, and talk radio is a whole industry built on
this
snap judgment.
This is what
judgments.
We get paid to do.
For snap judgment.
I know.
I see. On the one hand, you see the president's call that says, you know, we never leave anybody in uniform behind. And that is...
He's beating that drum,
let me tell you. That is an important sentiment.
Okay.
On the other hand... Yeah, you don't like the 5-1. Sure, we'd rather have 1-1. The question, I got to assume they negotiated hard enough that they could have got a 1-1 deal. They would have taken it. They weren't getting it.
Okay.
You know, even the Israelis, who are probably about as tough as anybody in that area, they've done 100-1. You don't like it, but they've done it.
Oh, no, I know they've done that. Yeah, I understand the Israelis, but we're not Israel.
On the other hand, some of the circumstances surrounding his capture are questionable. You know, was he a deserter? Was he delusional? I mean, I've heard that story, you know. The one thing, and the reason I say reserve judgment, and frankly, I've heard from some of his, the soldiers who worked side by side with him, and they are not happy about this.
No, none too happy.
And I attach a lot of credibility to what they say.
Amen.
On the other hand, there's one more person that we still have to hear from.
That's right.
And that's Bergdahl himself. That's the whole notion. And so I say, it seems to me, do you do the trade? That's one question.
Okay.
Secondly, you do an investigation. You talk to him. he may or may not be in for a court-martial down the road. I think we got a reserve judgment on
that
one.
It's a tough one. Court-martial's a tough one on that one.
And that's not a presidential decision. That's not our decision. I hope that would be made at very low and routine levels within the military system, applying principles that they apply to stuff like this all the time.
Because just walking off base doesn't get you court-martialed. No, sorry.
Yeah, right,
What we know as fact... Yeah. Is not worthy of a court martial. As much as that might tick a lot of people off.
What happened? Technically, if you walk off base and you're not supposed to, that's AWOL, but you never get prosecuted for that unless you're gone for a while.
He got captured.
I think the military standard for that is 30 days before they prosecute. Now, you could be in for some sanction prior to that, but.
The no man left behind, here's my issue with it. We've announced we're leaving Afghanistan. Okay, good news. Check. Oh, wait a second. We're leaving 9,800 troops there. It's not like we're leaving. It's not like the last soldier got on the boat and then we said, wait a second, we forgot about Bergdahl. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't leave a man. We left him behind for 5 years. We have not been negotiating hard for 5 years. And that's been admitted by past secretaries of state, by the way.
Yep.
So I don't this whole we don't leave a man and woman behind. It's off the table to me.
It is to me. It's kind of a nice message for every single man and woman in uniform to hear.
You
know,
sure.
We are not going to forget you, and we're going to do anything we can to get you back. And if we, in saying that, if we start to make distinctions because we don't think you were a great soldier or something, or might have done something else. Then that message becomes muddled,
mm-hmm.
and it's not as clear. So there's something to be said for that message.
Right. No, I agree that that's a good message. That's been a sentiment that we think of our military. No man left behind. We think of that, and we hear that from our commander in chief. It instills confidence. In the men.
It's
and women
a message
uniform,
not to
it.
Bergdahl, but to a couple million other people.
Understood, and I'm not going to argue that at all. The Guantanamo Bay thing. Going back to the 5-for-1. President Obama's first, and this is one of my big Spidey sense problems I have going on here, because this doesn't sit well with me. His first executive order as president of the United States.
We're going to close.
Close Gitmos. Yeah. Fast forward six years later.
Congress prohibited him from doing it.
Well, if he was king, he could have just done it. And trust me, he would like that title. I promise you. So Gitmo dump. He wants to evacuate Gitmo. He probably would have given 15-1
if
he could.
And he's legally prohibited from doing so right now.
He wants
to close it. The war is winding down. We're going to leave 9,800 troops there, but they're not fighting troops. That's to protect the embassy and to maintain.
Because the only ones fighting are the ones that we pay privately to do that.
And I think the other thing it's a foot in the door if Al Qaeda should set up some new camps and they were already there. You know,
Are we really that worried about Al Qaeda right now? I want to be serious. The Taliban, Al Qaeda, we have our military is its own nation. For the love of goodness, are we really that worried about Al Qaeda and the Taliban at this point? Are we really that worried that we have to bow to their wishes, give them 5 of their top operatives? For a guy that is seen in most of the country, 52% was the last poll, as a deserter.
Well, we don't bow to them. We don't cow to them. The question
is,
did you want this guy back? You know, they probably wanted 100. You know, it was a product of negotiation. And I think we could argue, you know, not being privy to that, I got to believe it was 5 or nothing.
It came out before it was, well, we just don't leave a man behind. At the beginning of this, it was, well, we saw the videos. He was looking a little peaked. He was looking a little like he needed a snack, like he needed to hit the McDonald's drive-thru. We need to get him home. He wasn't looking well, right? He was sick.
That's part of what we're
stuck
hearing.
Stuck in a German hospital for evaluation.
That's American hospital.
But he's in Germany, though. You ready for me to put my tinfoil hat on? Ready for this one? Ready for this one? Because I would say if I were Chancellor Merkel. Hey, remember that NSA spying program you have going on there? You guys still listening to my cell phones? If you are, this guy is in perfect health. He's a portrait of health. Just totally debunks your reason for going and getting him, okay? But if you promise to stop spying on me and my people and my cabinet, guess what I'm going to do? This guy was near death. That's exactly what I would do. That should be Merkel's move.
I think that's an American military. It's the best hospital in the American military outside of the American borders.
Doesn't mean we can't have fun with it. How does this end?
You know, there will be people who will be try to, you know, make this a flurry of political hay, but I think it's a done deal.
Politicians are making it a flurry of political hay. And frankly, I don't think this is
even
people.
We're getting to the point where attacking Obama is of no great consequence. He's not running for anything again. He's on the back end of his presidency. I'm waiting for them to figure out how to blame Hillary for this.
No, are you kidding me? I think they're running wall-to-wall on one certain cable news network. I'm not going to mention the name, but it rhymes with Fox News, on how this affects Hillary's chances in 2016. So, because you understand, she was part of the negotiating process. She had her hand in this Bergdahl
debacle.
She
has a great opportunity. You've heard what she said. Well, I would have held out for a better deal.
She can get
not having been party to the primary deal, she can, you know, she said, well, I would have only done one-to-one. Neglecting the question, of course. Anybody would have done one-to-one if you would have got it.
Or neglecting the question, why didn't you do it when you were Secretary of
State?
Do you
do 5-to-1 or do you walk away is probably the choices.
You look at the town itself, canceling the welcome home celebration. You see a lot of the politicians, both Republican and Democrat, scrubbing their Twitter accounts right now. When they were in support and now they realized what was going on, or they're hearing accounts from his platoon mates and just getting out. They've made this political. This is actually something that I think is going to, at least for the love of Pete, make us look away from Benghazi for a few minutes.
I guess, yeah, it's political. I see the discussion. It's hard for me to draw the dotted line between that and the outcome of any particular congressional race.
It'll be interesting to see how they use it in the election. We are in election year, so it's our Super Bowl. Hey, listen, it's the anniversary of Tianemen Square. Remember that? I don't, because I don't even know if I was born.
I was riveted to
the
television.
That's right. See? Yeah. All right, Doc O'Neill, we're going to get some... I'm not going to say age. I don't want to be mean. We'll get some experience here in just a moment. It's the Think Tank on News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to the Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
Hey, it is the 25th anniversary of the incident. Incident? Do we want to call it incident?
Massacre.
Massacre. Okay, let's call it a massacre. In Tiananmen Square. But first, Mike Russell here at KTR for MikeO'Neill.org. Check it out, MikeO'Neill.org. This is Doc's day job here. Blogs, articles, you can get videos, etc.
Archived of all the old think tanks.
Check this out. It's like a think tank vault. It's pretty cool. O'NeillResearch.com, public opinion research, all that good stuff. And by the way, he's on the Twitter machine. He actually wrote Michael J. O'Neill Twitter. Come on, let's get cool, Doc. At Michael J. O'Neill, right?
I guess.
That's how we do, right? I'll young you up.
You're
don't
probably
worry
more
about it.
Attuned to that than I am.
I swear, I am social media illiterate. I fight it tooth and nail. It's so taxing. It's so time consuming. I don't want to deal with it. Then you get lost in it. You start looking through people's feeds and ugh.
Infinite regress.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Oh, Will. All right, let's get to Tiananmen Square. 25 years ago, I was 14, didn't really care. I was too busy playing basketball and doing the like, and, well, I was on the basketball team. Didn't play much, but, yeah.
Well,
what's going on?
I was riveted at the time, and I think I also was guilty, like most Americans, of imputing kind of American values over the top of this. I remember that Statue of Liberty in the middle of Tiananmen Square and the student protest and all that. Mm-hmm. And I think that
explain what this for those that weren't riveted and glued. We talk about Tiananmen Square. I don't think people don't recognize the name Tiananmen Square. I think they maybe don't know what was around it, what caused it. Help us with that.
Tiananmen Square is around the outside of the Forbidden City in Beijing.
Okay.
It's you've probably seen the great big picture of Mao.
Yes, yes.
That is on the entryway leaving Tiananmen Square into the Forbidden City. The Forbidden City is the home to the emperors, and it is like about a mile square, and it's this massive enclave where the emperors of China used to live.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
So it is a symbol of Chinese authority, which Mao is to this day. Mao is seen kind of there in the light of a successor to the emperors.
Got it.
So
okay, good.
That's
Thank
the
you.
Context.
Okay, so that's what Tiananmen Square is. But what was going on 25 years ago? People freak out.
And they called it a democracy movement. And most Americans say, yeah, you know, we have a notion of what democracy is. It's voting and participation and things like that. And I think that's where we actually got it wrong in terms of what they were after. they really didn't have a clear understanding, and this comes from talking to, having spent some time over there and talking to a lot of Chinese, really as much as democracy, while they used that word, they were really after economic freedom. Mm. That was first on their agenda. And the interesting thing about it is, though the government suppressed their movement brutally, and I use the word massacre, 2,500 died by most estimates. The government doesn't own up to that, but it seems to be in that era. You remember the famous incident of the, we've never found the guy who stood up to the tank.
Right, the tank guy.
The tank guy.
I think that's the most polarizing. I think that is the most vivid image we have of Tiananmen. Absolutely. I think in Tiananmen Square, that's what I think of.
Do you know that image, to the extent, it mostly it's suppressed in China, but to the extent that it's used, it has in a completely different way. We're using it. Look, this guy's standing up to brutal government oppression.
Yeah, right.
In China, they tout that, see how restrained we were, the government, the same symbol.
Oh, isn't that nice move. Yeah. Well played.
We can look
at the same
thing.
Let's score one for China on that one. Wow.
Here's the interesting side. Though the government suppressed the movement, the real goals of economic freedom, largely they got what they wanted. They did not, however, get democracy as we know it, but to a very great extent, they got the economic freedom. There is currently nothing whatsoever in China that's communist except the name. It's something else. Mm-hmm. It is not democratic. It is authoritarian. I mean, the one part of the deal is, this is our government. You're not going to mess with that. And the tanks rolling in, we're clearly about
maybe
that.
Maybe communist with an economic freedom rider? I mean, how do we do that?
I'd call it state capitalism.
Okay.
You can start your own enterprises. The small ones, you have freedom. The large ones, you do a whole lot better if you cut somebody in on the government side in on the deal.
Okay, right.
You tend to do better. Mm-hmm. You have an acute lack of transparency. What they need big time is like Dodd-Frank. Okay, I don't trust their accounting internal. And you notice that a lot of these enterprises are private, but there are a lot of people involved in them that are relatives of high government officials. So it is stuff that here would be seen as blatantly corrupt, and there it's gray at best.
Right.
So there really has been a degree of economic freedom unleashed, and in that 25 years, they have unleashed probably the most powerful economic engine really in human history. They have brought more people out of abject poverty.
Oh my goodness, they have.
They have more people in the middle class than we do. Not on a percentage basis.
They have more millionaires than we have in the middle class, for the love of grief.
Yeah, because of the scale.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to Shanghai and it is like Manhattan on steroids.
Wow.
Now, in fact, that's what a lot of the tension they have is. There's a billion, two people, about 300 million of whom have made it into the middle class. The other almost a billion want in, and they want in now, and which is why China is voraciously consuming resources and on a hunt for oil and coal and every other thing in the world, because everybody else wants in on this middle class deal, and they want it as quickly as they can get it. And the government sees its job as doing it before the lid blows off.
And this, to bring it into, I know we're talking about an event 25 years ago and how it evolved, but you can take that very comment that you just made, that China is consuming resources at a fevered pace. You can take that to the new deal they made with Russia.
Oh, yes.
Right?
You take that, right?
When they made a deal for oil with Russia.
And they got, I'm sure they got a good deal because they got Russia at a weak moment.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. They got Russia at, okay, the EU says no more oil from it. It's okay. We're going to send it over to China.
And my guess is the Chinese negotiated a heck of a price on that
oil. I think Putin's going to be okay. I think Russia's going to be just fine with that deal because, trust me, they're making up in volume. But you can also take it back to the new climate control, the new climate change report that came out. And we talk about industrialized nations and we talk about the United States. I think nations like China look at the United States and us saying, well, we all need to drive hybrids and we all need to get rid of all these coal-fired plants and we need to cut down on our carbon emissions. And China, whoa. Half of this problem is something you guys started when you were coming up.
Right.
Now we're coming up and you're telling us we need to stop? No way, Jose. You can pound sand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But they have that tension. They are getting a lot of pressure from their middle class right now in Beijing and in Shanghai over air quality, which is horrible. and they're getting pressure to do something about it. On the other hand, they got this economic engine they're trying to run.
Yeah.
I do want to tell you one other little anecdote. It's a little off topic, but it's a very fascinating story about a system in evolution. I am there with a girlfriend of Chinese-American background and her daughter. She's about 6 years old. This is like 10 years ago. And we're looking around for an internet place, and finally we find one. We walk up this old creaky stairs to a second floor, and there's a whole floor of hundreds of computers with lightning-fast internet connection. You pay a tiny little amount, and we get access per hour to the internet. And her daughter's sitting down to do something, and she's sitting down, and we're there for a little bit. And all of a sudden, we're hit upon by this person in uniform, and it said something like, Committee for State Morality or something like that.
Oh, boy. Were you on nudie sites? What were you doing over there?
No. It wasn't me. Oh. They were going after the little girl.
What?
Okay. Chinese background, ethnic, but she's American.
Okay.
The fact that she's American. No, you can't have. Child is not allowed to do that.
Oh, she couldn't play on the interwebs.
Not by herself.
Got
and then she's negotiating with her mom, who's Chinese born but American citizen, who's fighting with her over this. This state morality police is not going to let the little kid sit on the internet. Finally, they negotiated, okay, as long as she sits on your lap and it's your fingers on the keyboard. But I look at this, this wasn't like Gestapo. It was more like a combination of the moral majority meets the Keystone Cops. It's
yeah,
like China had opened up, but somebody forgot to close down this old organization. And it wasn't like lots of Chinese kid didn't have internet in their own home where this outfit is not going to be.
But wow. That's
it was
interesting.
Just fascinating.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think somebody forgot to close down this old office, so they're still out there doing what they're doing.
They're on 56K modems and just killing it out there.
Oh, it was fast, though. It was fast, fast internet.
Oh, but
yeah, it was high-end
Come
stuff.
On, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
10 years
fast,
ago, you think in China they'd have the old U.S. Robotics 56K modems that were clearing out for $5
out of
Radio
A lot
Radio
of their
Shack.
Infrastructure is way newer than ours because it's all less than 10 years old.
Right.
The highways, for example, ours are built in the 50s. Theirs are built last year.
Well, I'm telling you, we got it all covered today. Holy cow, man. Good job, Doc. That was fun, right? All right, VA scandal, Tom Horn, the prisoner swap, Tiananmen Square. Never say we don't give it all to you right
Potpourri,
here.
Potpourri, like Rosemary likes it.
Potpourri, that's right. Well, Rosemary, the good old nun and her. Hey, thanks, Doc O'Neill. I'm Mike Russell. This is the Think Tank right here on Newstalk 92.3 KTAR.